afternoon. You're here with Bike Sport Radio. It's Monday, August 10th, 12 noon. I'm Brad House, and you're with Bike Sport Radio, where we feature the sport of competitive cycling. And we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. The phone number here is 213-252-0998. And we will be covering race results today. We're also going to have a special guest in the studio, Cynthia Liu. And we'll be discussing a little bit about women and racing in bicycle racing in Southern California. Right now, let's go to some of the sounds of yesterday's racing going on in Brentwood at the Brentwood Grand Prix.
Encouragement for the breakaway with two laps to go. You guys are going to win. Greg Venatoni is swinging off in the Safeway team. An honest breakaway, every man does his bit, keeps the pit going. Now we got some guys that have slipped off the ground with two laps to go. We try to chase it back down, we'll see that later. And there's Synergy, the right on his wheel with a good move, counter, because he's got his man Liebert up the road. Two laps to go.
So they had Alan Flores in the breakaway with Greg Liebert. And world champion Bert Glennon is not in the break. He's in the field.
Malcolm Hill. Those riders are at the front.
Malcolm Hill leading Bert Glennon.
I think it is. Stars and Stripes has just waited too long with Brent because that breakaway gained the advantage it needed. Those guys all work together. They're going around the spin now. Those guys can see them across the course. Put out a loop, put out a hollow all the way from the final turn to the finish line, Brentwood. And cheer on your favorite rider. These guys doing a great job showing you how to ride the race here at Brentwood.
All right, here they are.
The breakaway is riding.
All right, that was the breakaway finishing up in the Masters 45s. Four riders got off the front in that race, and it was Greg Liebert riding for Synergy Cycles, Greg Bettanti riding for Safeway Bicycles Plus Racing out of Northern California, California Pools Racing, John Hatchett, and also Alan Flores in that break. Breakaway pretty much went halfway through the race, almost the entire half of the race stayed away. Nobody was able to chase him down. And those results went like this. Fifth place going to Bert Glennon. That was a world champion. Bert Glennon picked up the field sprint. And then the four riders in the breakaway stayed away. So fourth went to Alan Flores. And third going to John Hatchett of California Pools Racing. Second place, Synergy Cycles, Greg Liebert. And your winner was Safeway Bicycles Plus Racing, Greg Bettanti. Pick Greg Bettanti. Great racing. Brought to you by Velo Club Lagrange Westwood, the Brentwood Grand Prix. Men's Category 1s and 2s. Picking up fifth place from SC Velo, Jeremiah Wiskovich. And fourth place going to Matt Rice. Third place, BMC Racing's Tony Cruz. Second place going to Velo Rochester, Christopher Fisher. And your winner in the men's pros, Bicycle House Racing's Eric Marcotti out of Scottsdale, Arizona. For the women's pro in Category 1, 2, 3 at the Brentwood Grand Prix, fifth place picked up by Kahala Lagrange's Catherine Donovan. Fourth place going to Kahala Lagrange, Karen Meske. Third place going to Now MS Society's Laura Lisinski. Second place, Helens Cannondale's Maria Lechuga. And your winner from Synergy Cycles race team, Kirsten Darley. For the Masters 35 Plus in fifth place, that was picked up by Rancho Cycling's Mark DeLeon. Fourth place, Team Hot Wheels, Timothy Roth. Third place, Daniel Bomfin out of Manhattan Beach. Second place going to Paramount Racing's Ethan Ead. And your winner from Team Bearclaw, Danny Cam. So, all right, that was yesterday's Brentwood Grand Prix. We got more results coming to you now.
Team Bearclaw.
Yesterday's Brentwood Grand Prix. We got more results coming to
Team
you.
Bear Claw. Alan Flores in the breakaway with Greg Liebert.
Race results for mountain bike racing. Rim Nordic cross-country mountain biking took place on July 26th in the pro men's cross-country, picking up fourth place Paul Freewald. Fourth place going to Jason Siegel. Third place Romolo Forsino. Second place going to Sean Donovan, and your winner, John Noble. That's the Rim Nordic Cross Country Pro Men. For the Rim Nordic Category 2 Men, in ages 35 to 39, your winner was Dean Bricker. Category 2 Men's ages 40 to 44, your winner, Clinton Campbell. And your winner in the 45 to 49 category 2, Richard Baylor. Richard Baylor, that's Rim Nordic Cross Country. For the women's category 2, in the ages 19 to 29, women's cross country winner, Lisa Hulse. In the 30 to 34 category 2, women's winner, Michelle Van Gilder. Women's 35 to 39 category 2 winner, Natalie Ban. And your women's winner in the 40 to 49 cross country category 2, Rhonda Warden. Juniors cross country at Rim Nordic, your winner for category 1 men in the juniors, Casey Williams. Single speed, your winner in the category 1 was Brad Stevenson. The Encino Velodrome Championships took place on August 1st. Race results coming up right here for men and women. In the men's scratch race, third place going to Veloclub Lagrange, Aaron Gadia. Second place, Team Roaring Mouse, Ben Stern. And your winner from Swami Cycle Club, Zach Simcover. In the women's scratch race, picking up third place, South Bay Wheelman's Tara Unverzagt. Second place going to Swarm's Megan Dean. And your winner from Pro Man Hit Squad, Hannon Alves-Hyde. In the men's points race, third place going to Aaron Gadia. Second place, Zach Simcoffer. And your winner from Amgen Giant Masters, Keith Ketterer. The women's points race, third place, Vonderkitten's Jennifer Reiter. Second place from VRC, Julia LaFranchise. And your winner from Pro Man Hit Squad, Hannon Alves-Hyde. The men's sprints, third place, Encino Velos, Keith Grine. Second place going to Velo Club Lagrange Westwood's Michael Garrett. And your winner also from Velo Club Lagrange Westwood, Richard Kim. In the women's sprint, third place, Jennifer Reeder. Second place, Tara Unverzagt. And your winner, Kathy Keeley. The men's team sprint, second place going to Quinn Hatfield, Philip Watford, and Joseph Patterson. And your winner in the men's team sprint, Stuart Press, Aaron Gadia, and Michael Garrett. In the women's team sprint, your winner, team of Shane Ellis with Cynthia Boyinger. Men's 1,000-meter time trial, the men's kilo. In third place, Synergy Cycles' Jay Wolkoff. Second place going to Velo Club Grange Westwood, Stuart Press, and your winner, Aaron Gadia, also from Velo Club Grange Westwood. And in the women's 500-meter, third place, Shane Ellis. Second place, Cynthia Boyinger, and your winner, Anna Lang. That was the Encino Velodrome Championships.
All right, track racing. I can't emphasize how really cool track racing is to watch for you listeners out there. You got to check it out. LAVelodrome.org or EncinoVelodrome.org. Go to the track and watch bike racing if you want to find out what bike racing's all about. And if you don't bike race, you will be inspired. You can see the entire race unfold before you at the track, so they're really cool. All right, we've got upcoming events now, and let's move into that now.
Rick. All right, and for mountain bike racing, Rim Nordic Cross Country Mountain Bike. Their series concludes on August 30th. The series finals with the Cross Country, August 30th. August 29th, series final for the Super D at Rim Nordic. Rim Nordic Mountain Bike Racing, Super D and Cross Country. You can find out further details on those off-road events at rimnordic.com. Coming up on August 22nd and 23rd, the Stump Grinder Dirt Club Summer Series continues. Downhill and Cross Country Racing, sponsored by Hecker's Coastal Tree Care, Kenda Ice Tools, and Circle Star Bicycles. Full details on the Stump Grinder Dirt Club Summer Series can be found at RideSB.com. RideSB.com. Again, that's Cross Country, Dual Slalom, and Downhill Racing in the Santa Ynez Valley in Los Olivos. Upcoming events on Saturday, August 15th, the 12th annual Sisquak Road Race takes place in Santa Maria. This is the Southern California and Nevada Junior State Road Race Championships, racing for all ages, as well as championship races for juniors. Junior racing starts at 8 a.m. with the men's 17 and 18-year-olds. This is a 10.75-mile loop, same loop that they've used for the past 6 years. And you can find out full details at scnca.org. Email address, sisquakroadrace@aol.com. And you can register online at socalreg.com. The Sisquak Road Race. Coming up on Sunday, August 16th, right after Sisquak, the Ladera Ranch Grand Prix. Ladera Ranch Grand Prix brought to you by Ladera Cyclery, Rock and Road Cyclery, and the Ladera Legs. Racing all day long, as well as a kids' race for ages 15 and under, clear down to age 4 at the Ladera Ranch Grand Prix, Sunday, August 16th. And again, you can also find out full details on that through SoCalReg.com for registration and SCNCA.org for all race details. These are road race events. And coming up on Sunday, August 23rd, Pacific Sunset Valley presents the Summer's End Grand Prix in Ontario. Racing begins at 7 a.m. and continues till 4 p.m. with the juniors starting at 7 and feature men's pro race at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Race details also available at scnca.org, and you can register online at socalreg.com. Pacific Sunset Velo's 13th annual Summer's End Grand Prix in Ontario.
Bike racing, the world's toughest sport. Imagine listening to the radio on Monday to hear the weekend's race news, or having a chance to call in and chat with an expert about our sport. Well, imagine no more. We are Bike Sport Radio. Tune in to KILL Radio for reports on the weekend's local race action and results. Hear how local clubs or teams are doing, or call in and chat with a guest speaker about the sport or some of its many products used. We cover road, mountain bike, cyclocross, and track cycling in Southern California, and are giving our fast-growing sport yet another media boost. Our studio is big enough for guests, and we have hosted a few notable ones. If you would like to be an in-studio guest, contact us. You can listen to Bike Sport Radio Live or listen to an archive show at radioforall.net. Please donate at any level to us through the Kill Radio online link at www.killradio.org or support Bike Sport Radio by linking us to your websites. Thanks for listening to Bike Sport Radio.
All right, we also visit sponsors at our events and give them a little airtime as well. At the Brentwood Grand Prix, for example, we had a chance to speak with one of the sponsors out there from Electra Bicycles. Let's see what they had to say.
Sponsor interviews now at the Brentwood Grand Prix on Bike Sport Radio. And I'm here at the Electra booth, a sponsor of the Brentwood Grand Prix. Tell us your name for the radio.
My name is Justin Manthey.
Justin, all right. Well, thanks for coming out and supporting the racing scene out here with Electra. Tell us about Electra Bicycles a little bit.
Well, Electra has been around for 17 years now. We started as a cruiser company down in North County, San Diego, and evolved into comfort bikes and now Dutch-style bikes and our new Ticino line of European touring bikes. Mm-hmm. So we have over 200 SKUs in our lineup now.
Nice, nice. And Dutch style meaning something like the Townie or the...
Dutch style is our Amsterdam model. We have now four distinct lines. We have our cruisers, we have our Townies, which are our comfort bikes with flatfoot technology. Our Amsterdam is a take on a Dutch style bike, a more of an American version. And then the new line that we're launching here is called the Ticino.
So right.
Full-on European touring bike.
The Ticino. Okay, looking forward to that. I like the Amsterdam's cool with the skirts and everything, the side skirts. I see one over there. And they're actually a very light bike for commuting. And
all aluminum frames.
Utilitarian bike. All right. Well, thanks for supporting the Brentwood Grand Prix with Bike Sport Radio here.
It's a pleasure.
Okay. So, one of the other things we feature for fun on Bike Sport Radio, we often talk to real racers and real training rides and so on and so forth. One of the things we went to last Friday, we've done this before, is it's called the Cyclocross Ride Around the Peninsula. It's a training ride for cyclocross. These guys ride at 6:30 a.m. on Fridays, and you can find them at Facebook. There's some Facebook sounds here coming up in a second here on the Cyclocross Ride Around the Peninsula. That's CRAP, if you want to spell out an acronym on that. Let's go to that now.
This is Friday's CRAP session, August 7th. Yeah, we're recording. We're on Bike Sport Radio. We got Bruce just showing up here, Wendell, Marcel, and Simon and Brian. Where are we going today?
I'm going to go to the baseball field.
Okay, cool. The Lunada Bay baseball field. All right. And there's Mike Hines. So Mike's here. So now it's going to be fast.
I know. It's going to be fast.
Friday morning crap session.
Well, Mark shows up.
And
you and Mark can go out.
We'll be rolling out at 6:30.
I don't think Dave's coming.
Here at Bike Sport Radio. Yes, we're on Facebook, so the Friday morning crack session here, getting ready to roll out.
Are we? I don't know.
We've got cross bikes. We've got one mountain bike guy here.
Signed up through somebody, but then all of a sudden a bunch of things came in.
I'll find you and I'll track you down.
Find us on Facebook. CRAP, that's the Cyclocross Ride Around the Peninsula. And we're heading to the baseball course today, Lunada Bay. What are you talking about? Easy on you. Me? You guys are so much faster than I am. I was like the back of the pack a week ago.
Every Friday morning?
No. I don't even know if I'm going to race cross this year.
Yes, you are.
I'm not very good.
You're starting to sound like Mark tomorrow.
Well, he's good. I'm not.
No, he's.
I don't think I'm going to race this year.
Sick.
Michael Marks? No, he should definitely race. He's always at the front of the practice sessions. Then again, a race is always different from practice, so we're getting ready to roll out soon here on Bike Sport Radio. All right, so we've all finally finished. We'll report a one rider in the creek in the thorn bush, but fortunately he's got his Yikes ID on. So we were able to find him and identify the body.
You got a good wheel?
And a flat.
Is this another wheel?
Oh, another flat tire.
Wheel?
Yeah, this is a good wheel.
Oh, man.
All right. Bike Sport Radio on the Friday crap session.
You go through wheels.
All right, now we're here with real riders.
So check it out at Cyclocross Ride Around the Peninsula on Facebook. This is Friday morning cyclocross practice. Now, also coming up starting next week, we've got coming up Wednesday cyclocross clinics at Hess Park, and you can find out more about those at socalcyclocross.org. Those will be led by Michael Pape, 6 p.m. Wednesday night cyclocross clinics. They're free. Anybody wants to try cyclocross and find out all you want to know about cyclocross. So one of the other things we do is we talk to clubs and we meet with clubs and find out what's happening with them in the race scene. This is a club called Peninsula Cycle Club. They do an annual 112-mile ride from San Pedro to San Diego, and that's quite a long ride. And I was a part of that ride. We've got real riders out here in the field. Let's go to some of these real riders and hear what they had to say on the San Pedro to San Diego ride. This is a memorial ride in memory of one of our cohorts, Steve Hart. Steve Hart Memorial San Pedro to San Diego ride.
All right, now we're here with real riders at Bike Sport Radio on the Hart Memorial San Peter to San Diego ride. And you're on Bike Sport Radio here. We're assembling our swag and our bags and everything. And you haven't done this ride before, have you, Mark?
No, this is year number two.
You did it last year? Oh, okay, cool.
I had 300 miles on my new bike when I did it last year. Of course, that was the old Specializer.
How many miles you got on this bike? It's a new one, too.
I don't know.
All right. 110 miles today.
Number 14.
For your bike at 114? It's longer. Cool. So we got about 40 people here. And we'll be coming to you at the first rest stop later on Bike Sport Radio. The San Pedro to San Diego ride. Now we're at the Doheny Beach rest stop. Listen to Abercrombie bench racing here. Everybody's here. I'm talking with Annie from Peninsula Cycle Club. How you doing?
Beautiful day out here.
Yeah, the sun finally came out. It was cloudy a minute ago, and people are getting antsy to roll, so we got to go. Bike Sport Radio, Brad House. Now we're rolling on Doheny Beach, whatever this street is, heading up out of San Clemente, or into San Clemente, actually. Heading into San Clemente. Nice little 2x2 pace line going on here at the San Peter to San Diego Hart Ride, Steve Hart Memorial.
Notice the breathing. This is one of those interviews where we're actually talking while riding on the bikes, which is pretty cool. This is actually live on the bikes.
Fun ride for Penn CC. What street is this up here? There's the 7-Eleven. We're at Pico and El Camino Real, leaving San Clemente, and we're approaching, what's the next town here? San Juan Capistrano, I believe. Going uphill, so Brad House, gonna shut off for now. Bike Sport Radio. Okay, so it's the lunch break now on the Hart Memorial San Diego ride, and make some noise, everybody! Make some noise for the radio! Bike Sport Radio, yeah! You're gonna be on the radio! On the radio. Bike Sport Radio, we are in Camp Pendleton, 62 miles into the ride, about, give or take a few. And then we're going to head down to the next rest stop at the top of Torrey Pines, gnarly ass,
like
kicking hill.
10,000
feet, yeah. No, that's the Col de la Jolla. We're going up the Col de la Jolla.
Cecilia! Cecilia!
All right, we'll be coming back at you in a little while on Bike Sport Radio. Well, here we are, the final rest stop before the end of the Hart Memorial San Pedro to San Diego ride. There's the van, finally. We beat the van here, the rest van. Sergio! We're not quite as loud as we were before because we don't have as much energy, so. You're here on Bike Sport Radio. Now, we're at the finish. The Hart Memorial, San Pedro to San Diego ride. Rick Fies has arrived. Yeah! Woo! Yeah. Rochelle's got the biggest eyes. What are you looking at?
I can't. This is like the first day you haven't been in.
All right. What do you mean?
Anyone who knows Brad. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
No.
You're here live on Bike Sport Radio.
Brad, what the fuck?
Brad, you're the sexiest man alive.
Woohoo! Listen to these comments I'm getting. All right. I'm sick and I'm the sexiest man alive. All right, cool.
It's not always sick. It's conditional.
This is internet radio. Anything goes.
No FCC control.
You're live on Bike Sport Radio.
You could open your show with that every time.
The San Peter to San Diego ride.
Have another beer, he says.
Woo! Yeah, we're celebrating the arrival of the final few at the Steve Hart Memorial San Pedro to San Diego ride here on Bike Sport Radio. John and Wendy rolling in. Now, this guy did this ride on a fixed gear, single speed.
Oh, jeez.
112 miles, yeah. What do you think of that? Unbelievable. On Bike Sport Radio. Kent's birthday today, also at the Buca de Beppo Steve Hart Memorial San Pedro to San Diego ride. Fading away here with real riders and real racers on Bike Sport Radio.
All right, so that was really cool ride. 112 miles from San Pedro to San Diego. That ride is put on by Peninsula Cycle Club, and you can find out more about PennCC at peninsulacc.org. It's a multi-purpose club, mountain bikers, triathletes, racers, mountain bike racers, cyclocrossers, all kinds of people in Peninsula Cycle Club, the memorial Steve Hart San Pedro to San Diego ride. Great ride. Good fun. It just happened to be one of the members' birthdays there at the final destination at dinner in San Diego, Buca de Beppo. That was Kent Carnes' birthday, so we had a birthday ride. So we were all singing and drinking and drinking and drinking. Terrible music there, terrible voices on the birthday sing, so apologize for that. All right, so Bike Sport Radio. You're here with Bike Sport Radio featuring the sport of competitive cycling, where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. And bike racing's not just for boys. We've got in the studio today, Cynthia Liu. Let's get her mic'd up here and grab that microphone and say hello. How you doing, Cynthia?
I'm doing great, Brad. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for coming in. You are our guest for the day. We're going to talk about women in bike racing and women riding in general and what's going on with that. We'd like to see more women racing out there and more women. Bike Sport Radio is putting bike racing on the map. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your fun experiences getting into bike racing as a woman as it relates to that. Tell us a little bit, a couple of anecdotal things you have to say.
Sure, no problem. I remember the first bike race I ever watched. You know, it was something that I'd heard of, and my first experiences riding a bike were actually on club rides and riding with the Shifting Gears, which is an AIDS life cycle training group. And I'd heard about this bike racing stuff. It sounded like a lot of fun. So the first bike race I ever watched was Manhattan Beach Grand Prix.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's a big race. Big race. It's on the national race calendar. It draws a lot of pros out. Good.
Yeah, it was great. And I remember watching them and thinking, this is the women, category 4 women, and thinking, wow, they're going so fast. I'll never be able to go that fast. So then I just, you know, I got a coach and I did all the stuff to get my training in order. And the next year I was there. I was one of those women.
One year.
It was really exciting.
Wow. What made you want to try that? Just the excitement and everything? Or?
Yeah, well, I figure if I'm going to do something, I might as well put myself in the kind of environment and situation where I can improve, where I can get better. You know, I mean, I can ride around the bike and on a bike path and have a lot of fun with it, and that's definitely one avenue. But what I really wanted was something that would push me to be my best self, push me to get better, to get faster. And I thought bike racing was the perfect thing for that. And once I did my first bike race, my first criterium, I was hooked. I was terrified.
Terrified and hooked.
I was terrified beforehand, but as soon as I got in there, it was so much fun.
Wow. What was that first race then that you did?
I did Red Trolley down in San Diego, which is in February.
Right. Yeah. February. Was it cold or was it
It was
chilly. Raining?
It was chilly. I think it was raining, and I crashed in the first corner.
Oh, my God.
My first bike race, I crashed in the first corner.
Oh, no.
But I got up, and I finished it, and it was so awesome.
Wow.
It's kind of like, you know, watching that Manhattan Beach Grand Prix. It was like standing at the side of a freeway and watching cars zip by. Where, you know, if you're watching them, they look very fast. But when you're in it, if you're driving on the 405, it's actually not too bad. So that's what I learned in my first bike race. That is fun.
Mm. And did you continue to ride recreational too a little bit with the Shifting Gears group still? Or
Yeah, a little bit. It was definitely good training. I was racing every single weekend because it was fun. And I was getting a lot of experience. And mid-season, when I started to burn out, I started to lose the fun of it. So that's when I just got back with Shifting Gears, and I did that Santa Monica to Santa Barbara ride with them and back, and that just reignited and reaffirmed why I love riding bikes.
All right, cool. Was there any challenges you encountered at first, being a woman specifically, or getting into bike racing at all? Or
Not necessarily. I would think that maybe for a woman, it's just a little bit, we tend to think about things a little bit more. Maybe we get a little bit more emotional about things, whereas a guy is just going to go out there, he's going to race everything, he's going to do every group ride, and he's just going to hammer and not think about it.
Right.
So, you know, in terms of a woman's sport, it's a little bit, and I've heard this from coaches, too, that coaching a woman's a little bit different. You just have to be a little bit more sensitive to some of the internal dialogues that are going on inside.
Okay, right. Yeah, I know that it's a very intimidating sport to get into. When I first got into it, I did one race, I believe, got dropped, went off the back, and didn't race again for a year. And fortunately, I had a coach that seemed sensitive and encouraged me, and I don't know, maybe I was too sensitive, but I got back into it, and the next thing I knew, I was finishing half my races the next season, and kept going with it. So, you're here with Bikesport Radio, and we've got Cynthia Liu in the studio. The phone number is 213-252-0998. Give us a call if you want to chat about women and bicycle riding and racing. Are there any special equipment availability out there for women racing that you use or endorse, or what's out there for women on the market right now for cyclists?
Yeah, the women's equipment is starting to grow. You know, bike manufacturers are starting to take notice about the special requirements that a woman might have. I have tried a women's specific bike frame, and I actually currently ride a men's frame. But I came to that realization through trying a bunch of different things. And I think that's the key out there for women. It's just you got to keep trying things. I went through 5 different saddles.
Oh. Whoa.
And it's all about, you know, really finding what works for you. And
there isn't really any such thing as a comfortable bike saddle out there, I don't think. I mean, there's some that are less uncomfortable than others, but it's hard. Saddles are hard to choice. Is the stuff that's on the market adequate, you think? There needs to be more?
You know, I think for me, putting an emphasis on the bike saddle and that comfort helped me tremendously, because when it got to be really painful riding, that's going to, you know, trim down the training that I want to do. But I thought finding a good saddle, that one that worked with my anatomy, really made a big difference. And one thing I'd really love to see more of is women's fashion out there. We're not, you know, I've seen a lot of really fruity, feminine things, but my style is just a little bit more plain. It's a little bit more edgy. And so that's what I would want to see more of, is a variety of women's fashion out there, a variety of women's cycling fashion.
Do you have like 30 different pairs of cycling shoes in your closet? Or we're not talking about that. We're talking about the clothing then.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. But I do want 30 jerseys.
Oh, okay. There you go. That's more than me. I have a lot. So, yeah, there is definitely a need for more fashion for women cyclists. I mean, you go into a shop that has bike clothing, and, of course, there's always a lot more men's clothing than women's, which is odd because I would think women are into clothing more than men, and in most cases, you might actually be able to sell more. So listen up, industry. Maybe more choices in women's clothing.
Yeah.
You have any suggestions for anything else that the industry maybe could do better for servicing women in cycling?
Well, I think really just getting to the grassroots and getting more mainstream with or getting down to the roots of cycling and promoting personalities, not just promoting pretty bikes, not just promoting pretty clothes with pretty posters, but really getting in and working on developing personalities out there. You know, it was, you know, people like Anna Kournikova who really turned around tennis, you know, turned it from being a really hardcore, fanatical kind of sport to something that's a little bit more popular, to something that women want to get more involved in. And I think that's really what's going to turn around the sport for women, is just getting personalities and characters out there. The money that you're going to spend on a blanket advertisement in a magazine that a woman may not necessarily see isn't going to cause as much of a splash as showcasing a woman athlete, showcasing a female cyclist, you know, like Dotsie, you know, and getting that out there into the more mainstream magazines like Shape Magazine or Fitness Magazine or Women's Fitness, something like that.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So perhaps something like Sports Illustrated maybe even could run a famous top women's cyclist. I think Lance has been on Sports Illustrated, but what do you think of that, Sports Illustrated?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's kind of like what Lance did for cycling in general, is he made it more popular. That's a recognizable, iconic name. And there's a way to do that, too. It's kind of like what you're talking about with Rick Scott. It's about creating a personality and about taking a story and a spin to it and using that to connect to people on a broader sense, not just the very obsessive cycling culture.
Right, right. Yeah. Those of us that heard the show a couple of weeks ago with Rick Scott from Great Scott Productions, he told the story of, he's a PR, public relations person, and he worked with Dotsie Bausch. And basically they pumped up and disclosed her eating disorder, and it really helped out with her publicity and everything. We've got a caller on the line right now. Let's go to that caller and see what they have to say.
Bike Sport Radio.
Is this Brad House?
Yes, that's me.
This is Julia Cross calling.
Julia Cross, happy birthday. Hey.
Hey.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. How you doing? We are featuring women today, and we've got Cynthia Liu in the studio and everything, and you race, also your daughter races.
Yes, both my daughters.
Both your daughters.
Next year.
No, you had two.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, the older one in the 13-14 age division and the younger one in the 10-12 age division.
Right. And how are they doing this season?
They're doing great. Colleen, the older one, will be upgrading to 15-16 next year. And Rachel will have another year in her category. Rachel was on the podium at track nationals and road nationals for all the events she did.
Wow.
So
they need role models, women role models out there that race bikes perhaps. We've got one in the studio right now, Cynthia Liu's here. And you want to say hi to Cynthia, or do you know Cynthia?
Sure, yeah, no, I do. I know Cynthia.
Okay, hold on.
Hey, Julia.
Hey, Cynthia, how are you?
I am great. You know, I want to say, too, that Julia has been a great face in women's cycling for me when I got started. You made it very comfortable and unintimidating to be there. So thank you. You're always there to teach and support the new cyclists. So thank you.
You're welcome. It can be an intimidating sport, especially track cycling. So to help that transition. It's nice to have it unintimidating and fun and educational.
Absolutely. So what are a few things that you would want to, I don't know, that you think the industry could improve on, or do you think that we could do together to bring more women into the sport?
Well, I think we're actually well on the road to doing that now with things like, you know, talk radio discussing bikes and women's issues in cycling. The way Dorothy Wong has worked so hard with cyclocross to unite the women and bring the women together. And what I've been doing with the Ladies Only Track program, giving the women an environment where they feel safe and empowering them with knowledge. And I think that's really the key. I love what Lori Lowen is doing up in Northern California with the women up there. And there just seems to be this upswing in energy that's being focused towards the women in cycling. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you tell us more about your LOTS program, Ladies on Track Sessions? Ladies Only Track Sessions?
The Ladies Only Track Sessions. We have a monthly session. Right now we're at the Encino Velodrome for most of our sessions. The L.A. Velodrome is a pretty pricey place to rent. And we're trying to keep the cost low enough that the women can afford to come on a regular basis. We meet once a month. We have at least a two-hour session where we take the time. We spend the first hour discussing track cycling, the rules of it, how the velodrome works. And then we spend the second hour with essentially a one-to-one mentoring where we actually ride next to the ladies and encourage them to get up on the track and show them the way around the oval safely. In addition to the monthly beginner sessions, what we're also doing at the Encino Velodrome is at least quarterly, we are having a four-hour racing school to help teach the women how to race, what the fundamentals of race, some of the techniques used, what the definitions of each race discipline, you know, is, what the rules are, and then we do little mock races and get the women a little bit more confident, to ready to race. You know, men don't often stop and ask directions when they're lost, but women...
No, you think?
For women, knowledge is power, and knowledge is confidence, and if they have a good idea of what they're doing, they're more likely to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. So where can we learn a little bit more about the times of the different programs and just learn more about the programs in general?
Well, there's a couple different places. The blog that I've been running for a while now is called Zippy D, as in David, zippydsnail.blogspot.com, and that's because I've never been the fastest snail on the track, but I keep trying.
Yeah.
And we also have a Facebook page. The Ladies Only Track Sessions is on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I am personally, and also the Ladies Only Sessions are. We have information posted on the Women's Cycling Challenge page at Facebook as well.
Cool. And what about the training, the fake racing, if you will, that race training? Is that at Encino Velodrome?
That's also at the Encino Velodrome. Our next racing school, we call it the Ladies Only Track School, which also is LOTS for LOTS.
Uh-huh.
Our next Ladies Only Track School will be Saturday, September 11th at the Encino Velodrome. We'll have a beginner session in the late morning from 11 to 1, and then we'll have a racing school from 2 to 6 p.m. And all the ladies are welcome. If you're not certified to ride the track yet, the ladies can come to the beginner session first and then stay through for the track school afterwards.
Very fun. Okay. Oh, and what about a track bike? Do we need to have a track bike there, or can we rent one?
The Encino Velodrome has a fleet of track bikes to rent. For all of the ladies' sessions, we charge for the two-hour beginner sessions, we charge a $10 fee to attend, and that includes the use of a track bike if you need it. If you bring your own racing shoes and racing pedals and a helmet, we'll get you fitted on a track bike that you can use for the sessions. And the same thing with our racing school. We have track bikes available to borrow for the 4-hour racing school as well, and that's included in the racing school fee.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any specific equipment that you recommend for somebody who's just a woman who's just getting started racing? What have been your equipment woes, and what have you either solved, or what would you like to see more of with it?
For equipment, the basics for track cycling would be a track bike. It's a little different than a street fixie, but a lot of street fixies can be used on the velodrome if you remove the handbrake. But a fixed gear bike is probably the most important thing that you'll need. The difference with a track bike from a geared bike or a freewheel type bike is that you have to manually change the gears, and sometimes that can take a bit of knowledge and a little bit of education, but any of your local bike shops will be able to help you determine what gear is on the bike and what the best gear is for the velodrome purposes. But really, the bike and obviously the helmet is probably the single most most valuable piece of equipment that you need to track cycle.
Okay. Cool. Well, great. Thank you, Julia.
Thank you,
Julie.
All right. Thanks for calling, and keep up the good work.
I will. Thanks for asking,
All right,
Brad.
We'll see you. Bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right, cool. Ladies only track sessions. And I've been preaching track since I started this show, so everything unfolds right there before your eyes. 250-meter track. It's like a park. Everything's controlled. No cars, no people crossing the track or anything like that. Complete control. So we're all amateurs, you know, for the most part. We do bike racing because we love it, and we'd all love to make a living at it, but we're all employed typically, and we race as a hobby. So tell us about what you do, Cynthia, for a living, actually.
Sure. I help people and companies infuse personality into their branding and marketing so that they can transcend all the marketing clutter that's out there and really create something that, you know, you and I can latch on to. So what I've done is I also teach people how to use that in the social media, using social media tools such as Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and how to best leverage those new technologies with your website to have people attracted to you rather than you chasing down your new clients or your new
Okay,
business.
That's it. That's good. That's good. You're hired. Bikesport Radio needs you. You are hired. Wow, that's really cool. And go on.
Yeah, that's it. And it's all about just being true to who you are and what you're about. It's kind of like marketing for the shy, where we're not going out there. You know, in this new day and age, it's not about going out there and so much beating your drum like, I am awesome and I am rad, as much as, you know, I'm real. And this is what I've got to offer you. And then just shaping that in a way that people understand that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you got a website or somewhere we can contact you and see what kind of work you're doing out there?
Yeah, sure. You can find me at CynthiaLou.com. That's CynthiaLou.com. And also you could see some of my old portfolio work that I've done with my interactive boutique, which is LouStudios.com. LouStudios.com. And, yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, so you will definitely be hearing from Bikesport Radio and growing the sport and growing the media, giving the sport more love, Bikesport Radio.
Yeah.
So in these bike racing events, how about a notable event maybe you've done since you started racing? You have any notable events maybe that left an impression, a positive impression on you getting started?
Absolutely. One that really stands out in my mind is the Nature Valley Grand Prix. And it's one that I actually participated in this year.
Was that Colorado? Was that where you were just now in Colorado?
No, that one's actually in Minnesota.
Okay.
And Minneapolis, Minnesota, the St. Paul area.
Okay. Where's Nature's Valley?
In Minnesota. So it's like a 4-day stage race for women and men out in the Minnesota, the Twin Cities area.
St. Paul, Minneapolis.
Yes, exactly. And there I got to combine my passions also, my love of cycling with creating, helping them to create and promote their social media and their reach. Mm. So what I really loved about that event was they took the time and the care to plan out all the details. They were really attentive to women in cycling. The women's event, their purse was just as big as the men, or yes, comparative to the men's purse. Their start times were very close to the men's. It wasn't like the women were starting at 7 a.m. and then the pro men was the featured event. You know.
There you go. Equality.
Yeah.
We're
going
to put the women out there about the same time when the spectators are out there, damn it. They deserve equality, absolutely.
Exactly. And one thing that I really love about their event, too, is that their focus is on the fan. So they are, had... bike ambassadors that would go around and explain to the fans how this bike racing works. And it drew a lot of fans out there. Huh. So putting the focus on the fans first, getting people excited, made for bigger crowds, which makes the riders want to come out and, you know, race where there are bigger crowds, where it is a lot more fun.
Well, did these bike ambassadors go around and work the crowd, or did they do this before the race, leading up to the race? Or?
Yeah, they work the crowd. They've got a little vest on. It says, you know, ask me if you have any bike questions or any bike racing questions.
That's way cool. So they're just kind of educating the public on so they could understand how the races work. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Hey, yeah, listen up, race promoters out there listening up. That is an excellent idea. If you've got a big race and you've got a big downtown area closed off, take advantage of that. Education. Get a few bike czars out there.
Yeah, so they I felt they did a really great job putting the focus on the fans and the spectators and using that to generate and leverage excitement for the racers themselves. You know, there were huge crowds there, some of the biggest crowds that I've seen for Criterium Racing in L.A. I mean, aside from huge events like the Tour of California, but it was really something to...
Right.
To make note
All right.
of.
Big thank you to Nature's Valley. I guess that they're the title sponsor, I assume, and
yes.
Nature's Valley supporting that race in St. Paul, Minneapolis area. Fantastic. Well, glad you got a chance to go to that event. How about anything else that the industry can participate? I know we've heard from clinics and mentors. You know, Julia Cross with a lot session. Promoters can do better things with the timing of when they put on their women's events. What about the industry? What can they do more to encourage women to participate?
I think it gets back to, you know, being where women are and building a community and a network. Guys are going to, I think... If you're a guy and you're into cycling, you're going to go look for that. But a woman who is not quite involved in it isn't going to look as much. So you want to be where the women are. Where would the women be? Again, that is, you know, online in different community groups. That could be, you know, taking an ad in Shape Magazine, something that's a little bit more consumer.
Hmm, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And even
putting a poster up in the local yoga shop.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Great ideas. Those are great ideas. So,
and for me, one of the reasons I got into cycling is, like Dotsie Bausch, I also enjoyed the an eating disorder. And what cycling did for me is that it took the focus off of the art of fitting into my jeans and put it into trying to get up a hill. You know, it just takes the focus away. And I think if we can have healthier goals for women and are just showing women that there's more out there, that you can live your life, you can have fun at these events, you can be healthy, and you can fit into your jeans.
Wow.
I think having a little bit broader perspective on that
right.
will help tie it all in together.
All right. Great words of encouragement from Cynthia Liu. Again, our phone number is 213-252-0998. We've got a few more minutes left. Is there perhaps anything else you want to add or anything, Cynthia?
No, just get out there and ride your bike, whatever level it is. And I think one of the greatest lessons that I've learned and I am learning is just to be persistent and consistent. You know, I come from no athletic background, and I just took this up, and I... really wanted to do well in this quickly, but I think what I'm learning is just stick with it. Just stick with it and be proud of where I am and where I'm going, which is sometimes easier to say than to do, but I'm really also just starting to ease into enjoying it more.
Yeah, persistence. Things that are worth doing are usually worth doing for a long time, and you got to be patient.
Yes.
It'll take years. You do get better and better and better every year.
Yep.
All right. All right. Well, thanks for coming in for Bike Sport Radio, Cynthia. And,
absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Encouraging women to ride more out there. So this brings us down to closing with our show, where we have a little advisory point we usually make for cyclists and motorists and the lot and everything. And today we're going to talk about, real quickly in closing here, sidewalks. Okay, so riding on a sidewalk, your bike. Now, you know, quite often, like we were talking about being intimidating with riding and stuff, you don't want to ride on the street sometimes. And riding is regulated on sidewalks, so we really don't advise it. And it is allowed, though, in, for example, the city of Los Angeles says you shall not ride on a sidewalk with willful and wanton disregard for the safety of others or something like that, which means basically you can ride your bike on a sidewalk in the city of L.A., but motorists out there are not paying attention to what's coming down the sidewalk, especially coming from the right side. When they're pulling out of a driveway or a street, they're looking to the left because that's where traffic's coming from. So keep that in mind if you ever ride on a sidewalk. I don't recommend it, like I said, but if you have to ride on a sidewalk, you know, just do it safely. And when you're out there on the street, drive your bike like you would drive your car. And I'm Brad House for Bike Sport Radio. Thanks for listening.